Hello, my name is Carrie.
And my name's Jen. And on today's show, we're going to do Living in the Danger Zone Part 2, The Sermon of Stephen. We'll be right back.
Hi everyone, welcome back to New Every Day. And today is a new day and we're opening up the Word of God to learn something new today, because I was just chatting with a friend this week, Jen, and he said, oh, like, is that your Bible sitting there? I said, yeah, that's my Bible. I said, it is the one book that I can learn something new every single day, even if I've read the same passage every day. And that's like the miraculous power of God.
Yes.
And like, I'm not ashamed to say that, because day after day in my own life, God is showing me new and amazing things. And I really like the prayer in Psalm 119 where David says, open my eyes that I might see wonderful, wonderful things in your law.
Yes.
And that's our prayer today. And we're going to just get right back in to what, John?
We're going to get right back in to Stephen's sermon, or the Sermon of Stephen. And like I confessed last week, I have read this probably 20 or 30 times, if not more. And it's interesting, when you choose to actually get into something, all of a sudden it becomes alive, like the Word of God is living and active, right? Yeah. And it speaks to us, just like Carrie said, like you can read like the same passage and go, wow, I didn't even see that. And I asked Carrie a question as we were preparing. I said, why do so many of the passages that, whenever there's this big, long sermon, do they always go back? Mm. And in my mind, I have tended just to skip over those parts.
Go back as in?
Like go back through Old Testament, and we hear about Abraham, and we hear about Moses, and we hear about Solomon, and I'm just like, come on, I already know the story. They already know the story. Like, why are they doing this? And so to be honest, I just read those passages really fast because I know the story.
Pastoral confessions.
But as I was reading this, I said, but Lord, what is going on? So I had listened to a few podcasts beforehand, and I was listening to what other people were saying, and I was like, oh, that's in there? Because when we skip, or we think we know it, and that is so key, we think we know what's in the passage, so we don't read it. Yeah. And a friend of mine actually confessed once. He's like, you know when you're reading a book, and it gets to the Bible passage, and you know what the Bible passage is, so you just skip it?
I've done that. Okay, I've done that.
I've done it too, and I was like, you mean we're not supposed to do that? And he was confessing. He's like, but the reason it's in there is because it made a huge impact in their life.
Yes.
And I was like, I was so convicted. And so I was convicted again as I read this and just went, Lord, what have I missed? Because I thought I knew. I thought I knew.
You know, one of my favorite quotes is by a Christian apologist in Canada, Joe Boot. And he said, a sure barrier to the truth is the assumption that you already have it.
Huh.
And I was like, yeah.
That's exactly how I felt. Like, because it's a long chapter, and I'm like, Lord, I don't have time to read all of chapter 7.
Yeah.
And yet.
Okay.
All of chapter 7. Yeah. And so I'm just like, okay, like, hurry up, let's get through this.
Yes.
And but then you miss out, right? So we're going to read it, and we want you, because you have to remember, this is coming off of the setting from last week, right? So Stephen is being accused, and because he's saying it's not about the temple, it's about God. Yeah. It's about worshiping God from your heart. It's not about worshiping God at the temple. It's about worshiping God wherever you're at from your heart. And they are just getting all up in arms about this. And so now Stephen actually says, and this is what he's saying, this is why I'm saying what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Based
on. He gives some background.
Yes. Based on our faith, this is why I'm saying what we're saying.
Yeah.
So we want you, as we read through, to look for those things that start rising up. And you go, oh, I see what he's saying. Mm-hmm. Oh, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. And so then when we get to the end, we're going to discuss some of those. So we're going to read from the beginning of chapter 7 to verse 53.
Here we go. Then the high priest asked Stephen, "Are these accusations true?" And the accusations were, we've heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs of Moses.
Mm-hmm.
This was Stephen's reply. "Brothers and fathers, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham in Mesopotamia before he settled in Haran. God told him, 'Leave your native land and your relatives and come into the land that I will show you.' So Abraham left the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran until his father died. Then God brought him here to the land where you now live. But God gave him no inheritance here, not even one square foot of land. God did promise, however, that eventually the whole land would belong to Abraham and his descendants,
mm-hmm.
even though he had no children yet. God also told him that his descendants would live in a foreign land, where they would be oppressed as slaves for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that enslaves them, God said, and in the end, they will come out and worship me here in this place. God also gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision at that time. So when Abraham became the father of Isaac, he circumcised him on the eighth day. And the practice was continued when Isaac became the father of Jacob, and when Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs of the Israelite nation. These patriarchs were jealous of their brother Joseph, and they sold him to be a slave in Egypt. But God was with him, and rescued him from all his troubles. And God gave him favor before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. God also gave Joseph unusual wisdom, so that the Pharaoh appointed him governor over all of Egypt and put him in charge of the palace. But a famine came upon Egypt and Canaan. There was great misery, and our ancestors ran out of food. Jacob heard that there was still grain in Egypt, so he sent his sons, our ancestors, to buy some. The second time they went, Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, and they were introduced to Pharaoh. Then Joseph sent for his father Jacob and all his relatives to come to Egypt, 75 persons in all. So Jacob went to Egypt. He died there, as did our ancestors. Their bodies were taken to Shechem and buried in the tomb Abraham had bought for a certain price from Hamor's son in Shechem. As the time drew near when God would fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt greatly increased. But then a new king came to the throne of Egypt, who knew nothing about Joseph. This king exploited our people and oppressed them, forcing parents to abandon their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, a beautiful child in God's eyes. His parents cared for him at home for 3 months. When they had to abandon him, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and raised him as her own son. Moses was taught all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He was powerful in both speech and action. One day, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his relatives, the people of Israel. He saw an Egyptian mistreating an Israelite. So Moses came to the man's defense and avenged him, killing the Egyptian. Moses assumed his fellow Israelites would realize that God had sent him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day, he visited them again and saw two men of Israel fighting. He tried to be a peacemaker. "Men," he said, "you're brothers. Why are you fighting each other?" But the man in the wrong pushed Moses aside. "Who are you? Who made you a ruler and judge over us?" he asked. "Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard that, he fled the country and lived as a foreigner in the land of Midian. There his two sons were born. 40 years later, in the desert near Mount Sinai, an angel appeared to Moses in the flame of a burning bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight. As he went to take a closer look, the voice of the Lord called out to him, "I am the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses shook with terror and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their groans and have come down to rescue them. Now go, for I am sending you back to Egypt." So God sent back the same man his people had previously rejected when they demanded, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us?" Through the angel who appeared to him in the burning bush, God sent Moses to be their ruler and savior. And by means of many wonders and miraculous signs, he led them out of Egypt through the Red Sea and through the wilderness for 40 years. Moses himself told the people of Israel, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people." Moses was with our ancestors, the assembly of God's people in the wilderness, when an angel spoke to him at Mount Sinai. And there Moses received life-giving words to pass on to us. But our ancestors refused to listen to Moses. They rejected him and wanted to return to Egypt. They told Aaron, "Make us some gods who can lead us, for we don't know what has become of this Moses who brought us out of Egypt." So they made an idol shaped like a calf, and they sacrificed to it and celebrated over this thing that they had made. Then God turned away from them and abandoned them to serve the stars of heaven as their gods. In the book of the prophets it is written, "What is it to me you were bringing sacrifices and offerings during those 40 days? Oh, was it to me you were bringing sacrifices and offerings during those 40 years in the wilderness, Israel? No, you carried your pagan gods, the shrine of Moloch, the star of your god Rephan, and the images you made to worship them. So I will send you into exile as far away as Babylon. Our ancestors carried the tabernacle with them through the wilderness. It was constructed according to the plan God had shown to Moses. Years later, when Joshua led our ancestors in battle against the nations that God drove out of this land, the tabernacle was taken with them into their new territory, and it stayed there until the time of King David. David found favor with God and asked for the privilege of building a permanent temple for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who actually built it. However, the Most High does not live in temples made by human hands. As the prophet says, "Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Could you build me a temple as good as that?" asks the Lord. "Could you build me such a resting place? Didn't my hands make both heaven and earth? You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation, and they shook their fists at him in rage. There's a synopsis of the Old Testament. We're going to take a breather and come right back.
Right back.
Jeff Weston.
Yaman.
You're building a brand new beautiful website.
What?
Aren't you?
No. Am I?
Oh, you're a terrible actor.
What?
This is where acting comes into play.
Oh, I didn't know we were acting.
You're supposed to act.
Okay, fair enough.
All right. I'm building a really cool website. Are you building a really cool website? You need hosting. One of the things about a hosting account is you don't want to have limitations put on your website.
It's true.
How much hard drive space do you have? How many email accounts? How many domains can point to it? Well, we've got an amazing deal for you. For a very limited time, cat5.tv/dreamhost, for just $5 and a bit of change per month, you are going to get unlimited website hosting, unlimited email accounts on that hosting service. You are also going to receive a free domain name.
Ooh.
So your own .com.
Nice.
To put that amazing website that you've been working on
it's
on
true.
There. If you want to build a WordPress site, fine. Sign up. cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Just don't put Panama Papers on it.
Just don't do it. But hey, it's a great deal, folks. Best deal you're going to find. $5 and change per month. Go to cat5.tv/dreamhost.
Hey, welcome back to New Every Day. We just read a synopsis of the Old Testament given to us by Stephen, which was his sermon to the people who were bringing these accusations against him.
Yes, and as Carrie was reading, I was listening again and reading along and just realizing Abraham, what did God say to Abraham? Follow me. Mm-hmm. What did God say to Moses? Follow me. Mm-hmm. What did, you know, he called them out of Egypt to what? Follow him.
Yeah.
And David is like, well, I want to make you a permanent place to worship you. And it's interesting because, like, they cite Isaiah 66:1,
okay,
where it says, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where is the house you will build for me? Where is my resting place? Has not my hand made all of these things? And so they came into being, declares the Lord. And then it goes on to say, this is the one I esteem, he who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word. But whoever sacrifices a bull is like the one who kills a man, and whoever offers a lamb is like the one who breaks a dog's neck. Whoever makes a grain offering is like the one who presents. Like, he's saying this thing because it's not about the sacrifice if it's not given to me out of a heart of worship. If you're doing it just to do it, and that's why he says, why are you sacrificing? And that's why he brings in, like, you carried up your old gods. You were sacrificing to your old gods. You weren't sacrificing to me. Mm. You were sacrificing to your old gods because I just want you to follow me. I just want to have the relationship. And, like, that's what he's saying, like, all the way through this. Like, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. God appeared to Moses in the burning bush. And though Moses struggled with believing, he finally believed and went. And it says, nobody's, like, there's no friendship like Moses is in God's. Like, he was a friend of God's. And I'm just, as I read through this, like, and this is what Stephen is getting to. It's not about the doing. Like, what is the content of your heart? The temple was so important because that was their identity.
Right.
Their religious identity was in the temple.
Yeah.
The religious identity was not in God being in their heart and them living out of that.
Yeah.
And that's what Stephen was getting around to. He's like, look at this. Like, it isn't, we put so much emphasis on the temple, but really what is, like, why are we putting emphasis on the temple? Because it's the house of God.
Yeah.
And if it's the house of God, then shouldn't we be doing this because we want to meet with the Lord?
Yes.
Not just because it's the right,
thing to do. And later on in the New Testament, it cited that what has more glory, the temple that was made, or the one who made it? Like the piece of art itself, or the artist who made it?
Yes.
And God has put, like, pieces of His glory on us because we were made in His image.
Yes.
Like, we are now the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Where God lives inside of us, renewing us day by day to reflect His image more and more.
Yes.
And actually, I was thinking back of when they were trying to test Jesus, and they said, they showed him a Greek coin, and they said, should we pay taxes to Caesar?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, whose inscription, whose image is on that coin? And they said, it's Caesar's. He said, well, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and give to God what is God, and whose image is on us?
Yes.
It's God's image, and we need to give that to God, and He fills us with Holy Spirit, and we become the temple of God.
Yes, because it ends
in
here.
Sacrificing.
Yes, you stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears. You are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? Because the prophets were sent to draw the people back to God.
Yeah.
And so he's like, and right there, it's the stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts. It's like, you're not willing to hear. And that's what, you know, you go back to the setting from last week. The people weren't willing to hear what Stephen was saying because it went against everything that they believed. And this is what we talked about. And so this is where we need to look into our own hearts and go, Lord, where am I stiff-necked? Where am I uncircumcised in my heart?
Where am I withholding the gift?
Yes, where am I resisting the Holy Spirit? Which, when you get into 1 Thessalonians, and it says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Like, if the Holy Spirit is sort of, you sort of, and it's hard to explain when the Holy Spirit is moving in a person's heart, but you sort of just get this, oh, is that what I'm supposed to do? And you're like, no. Well, I feel like I should, you know, go clean that person's house. Oh, no. You don't have time for that, right? And you've just sort of resisted the Holy Spirit because you start thinking, I can't do. Or the Lord, the Holy Spirit touches your heart, says, I want you to teach that Sunday. Oh, I'm not qualified. I don't have time. The kids won't like me.
Yes.
And it's like you're resisting. Mm. You're being stiff-necked. And so, and then they get angry, right?
Because they were accused.
And we're going to end it right there. To hold on till next week.
Well, I think we just need to start saying yes to Holy Spirit when he's prompting us. Can you just pray for us, Jen?
Sure.
Do that?
So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this passage from the book of Acts and Stephen's sermon. And Lord, he's living in the danger zone because he's calling people out and people just don't want to hear it. And so Father, we ask for open ears to hear what it is that the Spirit is saying to us and a heart to respond. And so Father, thank you for this opportunity to gather around your word and to hear it. Help us to live it out, walk it out. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we're going to see you back next week.
See you then.